right, very good. Take your Bibles, would you please? All right. Open your Bibles. Open your Bibles, please. To 2 Kings. All right. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Kings, please. 2 Kings. Really honored to be here with you today. What beautiful music we've heard singing about our Lord. Can only imagine what heaven will be like someday. And that mighty choir of people from all nations and tongues and all singing about the same Lord. You've got a little touch of heaven here on earth when we come together and we speak of the Lord and we sing about our Lord. That's what this is all about. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. How exciting were the good testimonies this morning. How thrilled I am for the young lady that was able to bring her mother down the Romans Road into a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's what it's all about. Make sure when you go home here, if you have that opportunity, that you walk in the Spirit and you do what the preacher suggested. Take those tracks and be a good witness and have a good testimony there with the people at home. And maybe you'll be able to come back and share with others that you were able to lead one of your family members to the Lord. Remember this, before Peter preached on Pentecost, he needed his brother Andrew, who was quite silent seemingly, to be the one to tell him that he had found the Messiah. And you may not necessarily be remembered per se for what you say, but it may be the people that you influence that will be. So I want to share with you today from 2 Kings, please, and I want you to take your pen out, and I want to have you mark some things, and I'm going to go quickly because I've got a lot of material. I'd like for you to see all of this, and I think it will be very, very helpful, and it has been to me as well. And as you're turning there and finding 2 Kings, I want to share with you from Romans chapter 12, and I'm going to read Romans chapter 12 now, beginning in verse 5. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And I want you to pay special attention to that statement, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Then I want to read for you from 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. The Bible says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. I think in a moment it will make sense why I open with those passages as we consider the life and the ministry of Elijah and then the transfer of ministry to a man by the name of Elisha. But let me make just a couple of opening statements here, and I hope that this will resonate with you. The Lord determines how He uses us. He is the master. Some folks have a greater capacity to be used. Some folks will be used in a very public way. Some folks will work behind the scenes. The truth of the matter is that oftentimes the people that go unnoticed are the very pillars that are supporting what you're looking at. It's God that promotes. It was God that promoted Joshua after Moses died. It was God that orchestrated the events that would put Joshua on the scene, and it was then God who pushed him, in a sense, in front of Israel and said, now fear him and follow him. You'll frustrate yourself if you try to tell the master how to use you. You'll frustrate yourself if you look to others and seemingly become desirous of how God is using them. Now, don't mistake that. It's good to desire right things. But I am Todd, and you are you. I grew up in a time different than your time. I grew up in a home in some ways similar, but perhaps in other ways differently. God prepared me. God shaped me in ways that perhaps He has not prepared or shaped you. God is the master. I cannot tell the master, the potter, how to use the clay. He determines that. But my part is this. My part is to be prepared and to be set apart to be used as a vessel unto honor. Whether, if you'll pardon the analogy, whether I'm a great big fine vase that you walk into the house and you see the beautiful flowers and the arrangement there, and it sets the tone for the home, or whether I'm the bowl, my favorite cereal bowl that I go to every morning and look for and is a part of my routine. I want that bowl to be used for that purpose. If you are not intended to be the vase, don't be frustrated. Just be a vessel unto honor. I determined when I was your age that I just wanted the Lord to use me. That's a life well lived. Success in life is to know who God is, who He is to you, what He's doing in you and for you, and then glorifying and recognizing your purpose for all the world to see our Creator and His amazing love and His amazing grace in our life. I grew up here in this place where there are many vessels. There are many vessels that are, in my perspective, very honorable and very prestigious. And sometimes it can be easy for us to look to those and say, I want to be like that person. Here's what we need to do. We need to be like Jesus. And we need to be willing to be the vessel that God wants to use us. I don't mind driving the bus. Quite honestly, I love driving the bus. Sometimes when I walk through the doors on Sunday and the men that are holding the door, I say to them, I'll trade you jobs. I'd be glad to be a doorkeeper if that's what the Lord wanted me to do. I'll be glad to preach a sermon if that's what the Lord wants me to do. I'll be glad to start a church if that's what the Lord wants me to do. I'll be glad to pick up after people, after fellowship, if that's what the Lord wants me to do. I just simply want to be a vessel that someday the Lord will be able to say, you know what, you were a vessel unto honor. And I'll let Him determine in what capacity. Now, what you can do now is be prepared for whatever God wants you to do. And that's what education and training is all about, to be in that mindset. I want to be prepared to be used of God in any way. Elijah is an interesting prophet. Elijah was called upon at a very difficult time in the life of Israel to take a stand. You'll remember that he stood against Ahab and he stood against Jezebel, Ahab's wife. He also then, not only in standing against them, he opposed the religion that they introduced into Israel. He stood against the priests of Baal. You'll remember that Elijah went to the top of Mount Carmel. And there it was that after he had prayed and asked God to do something in the life of Israel, God had now given a response that he would send rain. And it was there that that contest would ensue. And God would be declared that day on Mount Carmel, oh, God, supreme. And oh, how Elijah's heart must have burned with satisfaction that God's people seemingly were getting it, who God is. And then you'll remember that Elijah came down from Mount Carmel and Jezebel said that she would kill him. Elijah went from that. He went as far as he could, and then he jumped off even further, and he ended up at the Mount of God where he met with God, and God so graciously and lovingly dealt with Elijah and called him back to the ministry that he had for him. And a part of what God did for Elijah in recovering him was committing to him and promising him that he had more for him to do. One of the things that helps those who are in leadership and those that are investing in your life, your pastor back home and your parents back home, is to see you go forward for the Lord. It makes their sacrifice. It makes their life. It makes their faithfulness. It adds a little zip to their step. It means something to them. It encourages me when I come to the college and I see that there are young people who want right and who love the Lord and who want to win souls to Jesus Christ. That encourages us. And so that process for Elijah for recovery was to know that his work was not finished, that there was a young prophet that he would go and he would appoint him, in a sense, to follow and to be in pursuit of the ministry as well. Also, the Lord reminded Elijah that there were many that had not bent their knee to Baal and had not kissed Baal. And it seems like in the last portion of Elijah's ministry, he got that. Because not only would he go and find Elisha and tell him of God's purpose in his life, but it seems like he would then begin to be involved in something called schools of the prophets. And these were people, perhaps, or young men who before had been following the Lord, and now Elijah was more in the know with that, and he was helping them. We've come to 2 Kings chapter 2, and it is the day that the Lord would take Elijah to heaven. And so I don't know everything about how he knew that. I have a list of things. When I get to heaven, if I still care, I'm going to ask him. I don't know that I will then. When I see Jesus, that'll probably be plenty. But I'm interested to know how they knew this was the day that Elijah would go to heaven. But they do, and it seems to be common knowledge because throughout this chapter, it's discussed by those who are followers of Elijah. But there's a particular young man that we take note of here, and his name is Elisha. It was Elisha that I mentioned a moment ago, that Elijah coming back from meeting with God and being refired, so to speak, and being rekindled in his purpose, walked by Elisha, who was plowing with oxen, and he threw his mantle on him and he said, "Hey, listen, the Lord wants to use you." And you'll remember that Elisha said, "Hey, let me go home and tell everybody what's going on." And seemingly almost Elijah says to him, "Hey, go, don't go. What have I done unto you? It's God that has called you. I'm simply the messenger of God telling you this. So you go and do what you need to do. And if you would follow on, then that will be between you and God." And as blunt as that is a factual statement. The preachers can preach. The teachers can teach. People can see in you gifts of ministry, and they can suggest. But at some point, our service to the Lord has got to become just that, my service to the Lord. There needs to be within the servant of God a burning passion that says, regardless of what others do, I am going to see the Lord's purposes fulfilled and unfolding in my life. And just as you, I sat in college classes, and you're far more mature than I was. I needed to mature while I was in college. I needed to make some big decisions about the Lord's work and the purpose of it and let that burn within me. And I assure you that these great servants of God who have faithfully served the Lord over these years, there is something burning within them that has compelled them to continue on even in the midst of difficult times. So Elisha receives the call. Probably 7 to 10 years have passed now. We don't know a whole lot of what will take place in Elijah's ministry. There's a few things that are mentioned. But now the day has come for Elijah to be taken to heaven. Elisha finds out and he begins to discuss this with him. And on several occasions, Elijah looks to Elisha and he says, "Hey, you stay here." The expression that is used is "tarry here." And there are particular places along the way, seeming like jumping off points, where he would have Elisha to stay. In each of those instances, Elisha says, "I will go on with you. I will go on with you." Until eventually, almost exasperated, Elijah, getting ready to cross the Jordan, Elisha says, "Hey, there's no way in the world. There's nothing that's going to happen here that's going to separate us. I'm with you until the end." I want us very quickly to look at each of these places, and then I want us to come to Jordan. And I've got a few moments here to share these with you. Remember what I opened with. I cannot tell the master how to use me. It's not my responsibility. I don't have to worry about that. I just trust him and I allow the Lord to prepare me. My responsibility is to be prepared, to be sanctified, to be prepared to be a vessel unto honor. You will see in Elisha a passion to be used of God. You will see in Elisha a commitment to stick with the man of God, Elijah, who was the prophet of God, who spoke the word of God. You'll see here as we read on here, and let's go to chapter 2 and verse 1 of 2 Kings. "And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal." Gilgal is an interesting place. We know that when Joshua and the children of Israel finally entered into the promised land after those years of wandering, they would cross over and they would come to this place called Gilgal. It was there in Gilgal in Joshua chapter 5 where a new generation needed to exercise and demonstrate a level of separation unto God. You can go back and look at that as you have time, but I assure you of this. It was a significant place where there was a cutting away of flesh, representing a desire and a commitment and a connection to their relationship with God. You are going to see at the conclusion of things that Elisha will be asked by Elijah, "You've come with me all day. What is it that you want from me? Why have you stayed with me?" And Elisha will say, and you're familiar with this, "I want a double portion. I want a double portion." The title of my message is this: the man who would request a double portion. The man who would request a double portion. May I pray with you very quickly. Father, meet with us now. Many things have been said already and need to be said. Stir our hearts and direct us in this, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The man who would request a double portion must first be willing to travel through Gilgal. Gilgal is the cutting place. Gilgal is the place of separation to a living God. It is not enough, and it was not enough that my parents were separated to God. It was not enough that my pastor and those leaders that I had in my life were separated to God. There came to me the need, if I would be the vessel of honor, to be in that position to be used that way, where I, for myself, between myself and the Lord, had to make that decision of a cutting away. There is nobody now in my life to tell me, don't look at that, don't listen to that, don't be involved in that, don't think on that. And there will not always be a staff in your life or people to speak into your life to warn you about things that you need to cut away. You have got to learn to walk in God's word and to be led by the Spirit of God and to become so sensitive to what's happening and what's coming into your life that you allow the Lord to continually cut away and remove from your life those things that would hinder you in serving and in being that vessel used in an honorable fashion. There are so many things in the world today that the preacher doesn't have time to make a list. There are so many things that change now so rapidly we could not keep up with you to warn you. There are things that you could tell us. This is something that people need to watch out for. This is something that people need to be concerned about. This is something that young people and their parents should know about. There are so many things. What are we to do? We're to walk in the Spirit. We're to make that commitment. I want to be that vessel unto honor. I will not tell the master what vessel I'll be. I just simply want him to use me. And because I want to be used, I'm willing to be separated. Like the Apostle Paul, who said about the athlete who would strive for the mastery, who would desire the crown, would desire the medal, would deny himself things that others take and are a part of, but because the athlete desires success, he says, I'll have it removed. There are things in the world today that aren't necessarily what we would say sinful, but they're weights. They draw us into things that could be potentially sinful, or they hinder us in being able to go forward. The man who would receive a double portion, the vessel that would be prepared to be used, must be willing to travel through Gilgal, the cutting place. You'll notice that Elijah would leave him there, but Elisha says, I'll continue on. We see in verse 2, and Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel, the house of God. You'll remember that when Jacob was on the run, he came to this place. He would later return and name it again El Bethel, the God of the house of God. If I am to be a man who would be in position to ask for a double portion, if I am to be a vessel of honor, and I cannot guarantee that God would give me that double blessing, and we'll see that, but I want to be in a position to do and to be whatever God wants me to do and be. If I would do that, I must be willing to travel to Gilgal, the cutting place, and then I must go to Bethel. You must learn to walk with God. You must learn to know Him. You must learn how to develop in your life a daily practical pattern, a behavior of such where you're coming into the presence of God and you're desiring to know Him. I grew up in a place where they taught how to pray. I went to school and we prayed every day in school. There were books that were written. There were authors that came. I heard those as a boy. My dad saw to it that I would go and listen to men like Dr. John R. Rice and Dr. B. R. Lakin. And as a little boy, he would take me to the front and he would say, someday you'll be glad you can say you met these folks. And Bill Rice and Lester Roloff and some of these men in the past who preached messages on prayer. Prayer permeated my life. But I must confess to you, it was not until I was a student in Bible college where it really began to sink into my heart, I've got to get to know this God that I'm giving my life to serving. And the preacher can walk with God, and the teacher can walk with God, and your parents can walk with God. But when you step out into ministry and people begin to look to you as the shepherd, as the one that's the overkeeper and the one that's looking over their life, there's got to be in you and growing about you. None of us have arrived. I've not arrived in this. I'm continually compelled and pushed to go forward in this. Gilgal, the cutting place. Bethel, the presence of God, coming into the presence of God. Perhaps today your heart is that I want to be used of God. What can I do to be used of God? Cannot determine how God would use me as a vessel, what type of vessel, but I can be determined to be the type of vessel He would use. We travel then again, the same pattern emerges. Elijah says to Elisha, stay in Gilgal, I won't. Stay in Bethel, I won't. He takes him to another place. I want us to follow along here, and we'll notice together And that verse 3, something else enters into the equation. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Other prophets enter in. And yet it is Elisha who is determined to do what? To stay with Elijah. I would love to say that everybody I attended college with, I would love to say that all those that I sat in ministry with and have been involved in, I'd love to say that they're still of the same desire today. I do not pass judgment on them. I answer to Jesus and so will they. But oh, how wonderful it would be if there would be a continued pattern of each and every one of you servants today that you would follow and want to be used of God like Elisha was. We see he wants to leave him here in a third spot. He says, I must travel now to Jericho. Verse 4 speaks of this. Stay here. No, I'm going with you. And they go to Jericho. You remember what took place in Jericho. Jericho is where God brought Israel as they entered into the promised land. And they marched around those times, one per day, leading up to that final day when they marched numerous times. And God brought the walls down. Jericho speaks of a walk of faith. The man who would ask for a double portion must travel to Gilgal and be willing to be cut and have things removed from their life. The man who would ask for a double portion must understand the importance of being in the presence of God. The man who would ask for a double portion must recognize that this walk is a walk of faith and not sight. There are some things that make perfectly good sense to us, and there are other times as we're following the Lord, we're trusting Him and trusting His Word, and they make perfectly good biblical sense to us. But sometimes my reasoning, I don't get it. I did not understand why, as a young pastor trying to get things off of the ground, our fourth child would be diagnosed in a very short fashion from a Monday to a Wednesday. We would go from not knowing anything to Wednesday starting chemotherapy treatments, being told by nurses and physicians they did not expect the child to live. I did not understand that. Did not understand as I walked the hallways of Riley Children's Hospital. I suspect at the time I was 27, maybe 28, 19, yeah. And I was walking those floors, and I'd like to say that everything that came out of me was appropriate. I don't know that it was inappropriate, but I would certainly be embarrassed at some of my heart cry to God. God, I seemingly have done everything that you've wanted from me from my youth. I've pursued you, and now, God, you would bring this into my life. Now, God, you would bring this upon us. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. In my heart, he stilled me. He calmed me. And he said, trust me. Trust me. And there in that hallway, I made a commitment to God. Though he slay me, though I feel slighted, though I feel hurt, I'm going to trust you. You see, this life, you're going to run into things. You're going to deal with things. You're going to scratch your head and say, why in the world am I having to deal with this? I just want to do right. I just want to love God. I just want to serve people. I just want to win souls. Or I don't understand. How are you going to provide, God? How are you going to meet this need? Where are these finances going to come from? That's that Jericho. That's that walk of faith. Very quickly, we'll go on here and we'll see that they come to the Jordan. You'll know that the Jordan, there were two bodies of water of tremendous significance to Israel, the Red Sea, when God brought them out of bondage and delivered them from bondage and delivered them from their enemy in that crossing. And now the Jordan is a different picture. It's a picture of Joshua, who is a type of Jesus, taking the people of God who've been delivered from Egypt into the life that God has for them. That's a life of walking in the Spirit. That's a life of answered prayers. That's a life of pursuing God. That's a life of letting the Lord Jesus rule and reign and following His instructions to see in our life all the blessings and all the promises unfold that He would have for us. I would remind you that the Jordan speaks of something. That one generation wandered in the wilderness because of self to cross over the Jordan and to go on to greater things that the Lord has for us is to die to self. To die to self. We see this as a pattern in the life of those in the New Testament as they pursued the Lord. We hear this in the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ when he says, if a man's really going to know his life, if he's really going to find his life, then he's got to be willing to do what? Lose it. Do not enter into ministry in self. Don't go into this for your passions and your purposes. Don't go into this with a desire of, I want to look like that someday. I want to be that person someday. But rather look to the Lord Jesus and say, I want to be like Him, and I'll be happy doing and being whatever vessel He chooses to use me as. Whether I'm known, whether I'm recognized, whether I'm honored, regardless, I want my Savior to be pleased. And every one of us can be purposed to be that kind of vessel. Every one of us. Elijah looks to Elisha and he says, hey, you've hung in there with me. Others have not, but you have. What is it that you want from me? Read with me, would you please? In verse 9, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. This expression of a double portion harkens back to Deuteronomy chapter 21, where it was promised to the oldest son there would be a double portion. Very practically, what Elisha is saying is, Elijah, I want to take over what you've started. Elijah had a burden for Israel, and Elisha has a burden for Israel and for God. And he said, I want to continue what you have done, and I want something. I want to have a double portion of thy spirit. I want it to be upon me. Look at the response in verse 10 from Elijah to Elisha. And he said, Elijah said, thou hast asked a what? A hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Now there's a lot there, and I don't understand all of it. But here's what I do understand. It was not Elijah's to give. It was not Elijah's to give. It's a hard thing. You're asking me to do something. It's not mine to give. Whose is it to give that double portion? Who was it that had promoted Elijah? And who was it that had called Elisha through Elijah? That was God. And so seemingly as an expression of whether or not that double portion comes upon him, Elijah says, if you see me when I'm taken, then you'll know that it's on you. If you'll read, and it's a tremendous passage here, let's look at it together. Verse 11, and it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it. Significance in seeing it, right? Because he had been told that if you see my taking, if you have knowledge of how I'm taken, then you'll know that you have this. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. He took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Elisha saw something. He saw God's work and God's ministry in a very special way. He saw how God parted them. God gave him insight. And I don't want to be spooky, nor am I seemingly being spooky here. But God gave Elisha the ability to see what he was doing in a way that others did not. It follows out in Elisha's life, some enemies come and surround him, and his servant goes out in the morning, and he's very fearful because of all the enemies that have surrounded them. Elisha prays, and he says, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. That servant's eyes were opened, and he saw what? He saw all that host that Elisha already knew were there. May I put it this way, and I'll close. Some people get it. Some people grasp it. They get what ministry is all about. They get it. They see the winning of souls and the reaching of the world for Christ, and they get the passion, and they get that heartbeat. And what we need, and I don't want to overemphasize this double portion to you, but I want to stress this to you, that ministry is ministry, yes, but it's also getting it. It's getting it. And we develop and we mature and we understand. But when you look at a person and you see them differently, when you see them not as an object of your ministry, when you see them not as another person to put in your pew, but you see them as a soul. You see them as the heritage of the Lord. A hospital call is no longer just a sense of obligation. When you get it, you see God's work in a bigger way. You see the importance of kindness and gentleness with the people of God. You see the importance of effort and energy and organization and how every little thing matters when you get it, when you catch this grasp, if you will, you grasp the bigness of the Lord's ministry. I've crammed a lot of stuff into a few moments. I trust that God would give us something to be a help to us. Let's pray.